Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Is Jesus really the only way to God? Coming up on Cross Connection. Welcome to Cross Connection. We are so glad you have joined us today. Every week on Cross Connection, we experience the Word of God come alive. And I know that you will experience this today as well. Since we have prepared many surprises for you and Sergio, I'm glad because this is our second show in this new season.
I'm excited, Oleg.
You're excited.
And today especially, I'm excited because our topic is awesome today. It's all about the love of God, how it transforms us, how it brings us into oneness with Him. It's something that's powerfully affected all of us here, I know. And we want to know how it's affected you with today's question. What are some ways you've experienced the love of God? Remember, we're on Facebook, Twitter. You can email us. You can just send us a text. Any way you want to reach us, we're looking forward to connecting with you.
And I'm glad, first of all, thank you very much for joining us wherever you are. And we are blessed because we are joined by many people from different countries and different parts of the United States as well. And I'm also glad because we are joined today by Jennifer and Nathan. Nathan, how was your week? And Jennifer, how was your week?
It was great. It was great. Happy to be here.
Okay, excellent. And it will become even better.
Yes.
Sergio, how was your week?
It's at its Phoenix highlight, ultimate highlight now. Yeah.
And I hope that this is the highlight of your week whenever you can join Cross Connection. Right. Because when we get to study the Word of God and when we reveal the hidden treasures that God has prepared for us, it's simply amazing. Mm. Let me tell you something. On Cross Connection, we always try to get a trip. Like trip, literally, in time and in space. So what we will try to travel 2,000 years back in time, and we will happen to be in the time of Jesus at the very place where Jesus would be. Mm-hmm. So, and before we do that, let's pray together. And Jennifer, could you pray for us, please?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to just study from your word, and we just ask that your Holy Spirit be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So all Cross Connection, we study the context and we also apply this context to our lives today, don't we? And Sergio, what do you say? This program is even called Cross Connection.
That's right. We have the cross, we have the connection, so we get in-depth Bible study. But of course, what's the point? We got to apply it to our lives today.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So this is exactly what we are trying to do. And what we will do, we will get in the Word right now. Can you see what happens when we get in the Word? There is something. We will place ourselves in the context of that place. And we are in John chapter 14. Let's turn to John chapter 14. And John chapter 14 is the chapter that follows John chapter what?
13.
13, yes. Exactly. This is a very good one. Yeah. And why I'm asking you that, because we need to understand where exactly we are right now. Yeah. We are in the upper room, and I would like us to actually experience it today when we will get in the upper room, and we will be taken there in a few seconds. So in the upper room, so what was happening in that upper room? What do we know about it in John chapter 13?
They just did the foot washing, and Jesus passes out the bread and the wine.
What else? Was there anything else that was happening there at that time?
So they were celebrating the last Passover that Jesus was going to be with the disciples. So it was an opportunity for them to all be together after, you know, being out and working miracles. Mm-hmm. Of course, Jesus had demonstrated, you know, servanthood by washing his feet. And then he was also telling them that he was preparing to leave them.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And this is very good because chapter 13 is actually... chapter 13 is actually a chapter that starts the Book of Glory. So this is how the Book of Glory starts. And then later on we will see how this Book of Glory is actually progressing. And the Book of Glory starts with this greatest ministry of Jesus actually presenting his love by washing his disciples' feet. What is simply amazing, because if we turn to John chapter 14, and Sergio, could you read for us John chapter 14, verse 1?
Yeah, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me."
Okay, so let me ask you a question. How often do you get stressed in the 21st century? Nathan, why are you laughing?
I have stress every day of my life. I feel like work, that work and stress are equal in my life. And I would say another thing that stresses me out is food. Like, I might be the only person that gets stressed out by food, but making food and having to go and eat is just, it's so much work for me.
I think
they just had a Last Supper, so they're stressed. They're like, Nathan.
No, maybe there is a solution. You need to get married.
You know, maybe that is a solution.
No. So you said that the stress is a part of your life, everyday life?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Really? I am stressed even right now because we are on live television. Please don't be stressed about us, because let's just enjoy the study of the Word of God. So we get stressed, but why would Jesus start these words like he started them in John chapter 14? Why do you think he would start this word?
So he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me."
Yes.
And you know, the context is that Jesus is about to leave them, and he's told them that. He's been, you know, hinting and alluding to it throughout his ministry, and you know, finally they're approaching the point where Jesus is going to be gone and the disciples are going to be without him. So he has to provide them with some comfort.
Okay, let me ask you one more question. And this question will be actually something that we will discover right after the break. So often we talk about John chapter 14, and we talk about that when we read this passage, "In my Father's house there is many mansions." So often we talk about this passage as something that will point to Jesus' second coming. And this is true, and we will find out something more about it right after the break. So stay with us, don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Cross Connection. And right now we are actually in the upper room. And now we get to experience where exactly Jesus would be with his disciples. In fact, what you see in our monitors, you see that there is what is in the window right there. What do you think that is?
A dove.
Yeah, dove, that's right. But there is something behind the dove, and that is the temple.
Oh, okay.
So there is the temple, and on the other side there is the Mount of Olives, and then there's also the basin and the towel that emphasize and re-emphasize what Jesus has done for us, for all of his disciples throughout the generations, and this is what he wants us to do as well. Mm-hmm. But then there's also something very important. There is the temple behind, but there is also the Mount of Olives. And right there, at Mount of Olives, there is Gethsemane. And this is exactly what we talked about. In John chapter 13, Jesus clearly emphasized that he will do, he will leave his disciples.
Right.
And that's why the very first words in John chapter 14 are,
"Let not your hearts be troubled."
Yeah.
So how does it apply to our lives today then?
I mean, I think it's the thing that jumps out to me, of course, he's telling them that he's about to leave, and saying, "Don't be worried." And we're going to go into the reasons why they shouldn't be worried, the things that Jesus says later. But the very previous verse, I mean, we have this chapter division that's put in after, but when John wrote it,
yes,
he wrote 13:38, as we've marked it, and the very next sentence is what we just read. So 13:38 says, what he's talking about is that Peter's going to deny him three times. So he says, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. The very next sentence, in fact, this is the same. Jesus takes a breath, and the next thing he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, which is just so incredible, the nature, the forgiving nature of God, where he's already forgiven Peter for the thing he hasn't even done yet. He's saying, I've said that Judas is going to betray me once. You're going to betray me three times. I'm going to see it. It's going to break my heart. But don't let your heart be troubled. You know, it reveals this aspect of God where he loves Peter, and he's almost already forgiven him for this thing that he hasn't even done yet.
So what do you see in this passage? Do you see just as Sergio described?
Yeah, for me, I feel like now I feel bad that I said I'm stressed all the time, because then it means...
About food, right?
Yeah, it means maybe I'm not, I don't believe in God, and I'm not having my daily connection with mm-hmm. him as much as I should be. So, I mean, already instantly, I need to make sure if I am stressful, I start connecting better to God, and hopefully it'll take some of that stress out. So maybe I need to pray more before I eat.
Exactly. God, maybe you need to pray the Lord's Prayer, because it says, give us our daily bread. So this is very interesting, because it is true. The disciples, they just heard about Jesus leaving them, and they were stressing about it. And secondly, as Sergio just pointed out, that Judas was the one who will betray Jesus. And then Peter is the one who will betray Jesus three times. Mm. So it's all about betrayal. And also, in the midst of it, there is love. Mm-hmm. And then there is also these words of encouragement. But let's go further, mm-hmm. because Jesus says, let your hearts not be troubled. But why? Let's read verses 2 through 4. And Nathan, could you read for us verses 2 through 4?
All right, 2 through 4. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know.
Okay, let me ask you a quick question. So in your translation, it says, in my Father's house, there is many what?
Mansions.
Mansions. How does it sound to you? Sergio is laughing for some reason. Why? Why? How does it sound to you?
You have a house, and in the house are mansions. It doesn't make does sense, it sound... right? Why would a house have mansions inside the house?
In the house.
Does it make sense?
Does it make sense to you?
I think with God, all things are possible, right?
Okay, yeah, but wait a second.
When I was reading this, I think the thing that really stuck out to me was inclusion, you know? I think here on earth, there's this attitude of exclusivity. Mm-hmm. So things are more special the more people you get to sort of keep out. So you live in an exclusive mm-hmm. neighborhood mm-hmm, or you mm-hmm. live in an affluent area. But here, you know, Jesus is saying, my Father's house is so big, it has so many mansions, that there is a place for everyone there, any person.
This is a very good point, yeah. Very good point. But Sergio, do you have any other translations, such as NIV maybe, or something?
Is that the one you want?
Yeah, let's do a New International Version,
all
yes.
All right, let me pull that up. Okay. It says, my Father's house has many rooms.
Okay. So there's my Father's house has many rooms.
Many rooms.
Which makes more sense.
Many mansions.
It makes a little bit more sense. But let's place ourselves in the context. And I would like us to see this picture of a courtyard with many rooms. Look what you see on the screen right now. So there is a courtyard or Father's house with many rooms. Mm-hmm. What is something that unifies all of them? There is a courtyard mm-hmm. in the middle. So it's like, let me tell you this basically, because throughout the history, unfortunately, even in the church fathers, they would emphasize that when we go to heaven, we will have many mansions. Mm-hmm. And somebody will have a better mansion, somebody will have less, not very
sure.
great mansions.
Yeah.
Somebody would say, I was a pastor, I will have a better mansion in heaven. Or I did many other goods, and I will have a better mansion. What is your response, Nathan?
I think that's terrible if people say that. I mean, I think we're all going to be equal in heaven is my view of heaven.
Yeah.
And I think Jesus answers it here in the verse where he says, I go to prepare a place for you. So it doesn't, I mean, Jesus is not going to prepare someone a mansion and someone a shack in heaven. Mm-hmm. You know, it just totally would be out of his character.
And to be honest, I don't even want to have a mansion in heaven. I want to have a room. A room that would be facing this courtyard. Whenever we wake up, we would say, hi, Sergio. And then just say, high five. Hi, Nathan. Yeah, because we all are united, and there is this throne of God in the middle. Yeah. Well, wouldn't it have been great?
Yeah, no, I think to me rooms makes more sense, and you're the scholar, you know the original wording better.
But, and it is actually the original wording. The original wording of this text is, in my Father's house there is many rooms.
Okay.
Not mansions like separate castles in one kingdom.
Where we're all have gated communities.
No.
I just want to be there, if it's a mansion or a room.
Yeah, but there is something else. So
you're shattering all of my dreams right now. like as a kid, I remember it was sitting there dreaming about what my mansion would be like in heaven. It's all shattered.
I'm so sorry, but now you get to enjoy the more precious union with God and with fellow believers.
Exactly.
But look what happens next. If you read just the following verse. In verse 3, we can read verse 3. And Jennifer, if you could read for us verse 3.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself,
that where I am, there you may be also.
Yeah, and then the verse 4 continues, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. So when we read these verses, what is the first thing that comes to our mind? What mentions, what Father's house is Jesus talking about?
He's talking about in heaven. He's leaving and he's going to heaven to prepare a place.
Okay. Yeah, Nathan?
That's always been how I've looked at it. Heaven.
Heaven.
What it's talking about.
Yeah.
Until
yeah.
maybe recently.
Heaven, for sure. That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. This is exactly how we feel.
Are you going to shatter another thing for me?
No. And this is very true because we talked about this is definitely something. So there's twofold eschatology, if you want to say this interesting word. Eschatology means something that is later days.
Points to the future.
Yeah. Points to the future, yes. Mm-hmm. So there's twofold something that points to the future. First, it's the future eschatology, which means points to the future, but there's also present eschatology. Mm-hmm. So we will find out something extremely amazing and beautiful right after the break. So I would encourage you to stay here. Don't go anywhere. It's your church as well. Right, please don't go anywhere, because right after the break, we will see what this mention Jesus is talking about, what this future that Jesus is talking about. So stay with us, and we will see you after the break. Welcome back to Cross Connection. We just learned that this passage that we read in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, it talks about many rooms in Father's house that Jesus is preparing for us.
Sure.
But we also learned that this passage talks about the future second coming of Jesus Christ, because our hearts are troubled, but we know that Jesus will come again. However, if we look in the entire context, we can discover something else that is also extremely beautiful.
Cool.
Very beautiful. And we don't want to miss it as well, because this passage, the entire passage, John wants us to understand it, and Jesus wants us to understand it as well. And this is what we will discover right now. But let me just start with a very short introduction. For thousands of years, humankind, we tried to put God into a box. We tried to find a place where God would live. Many times. It would be something like a mountain or somewhere else. God is always somewhere where we want him to be, not where he wants himself to be. So, and that's why in the Judeo-Christian world, the Father's house, the word the Father's house, all referred pretty much always first, it referred, and I would like us to see it, first it referred to the tabernacle. Secondly, in Judeo-Christian world, it referred to the temple. Thirdly, it referred to the church. And fourthly, it refers to heaven. So as you see, the tabernacle, temple, church, and heaven. What else is the Father's house? When Jesus talks about the Father's house in this passage, he talks about something else, something more beautiful, something entirely different sometimes even. And we will discover what he talks about as in today's hidden treasure. And if you didn't get to enjoy our hidden treasure last week, you can definitely do it. And Sergio, where can somebody find hidden treasure? That
you can find hidden treasure where you find everything for us. You can just go to our website, hopetv.org/crossconnection.
Or you can go to our Facebook page.
Or to our Facebook page. And I'm excited to see where we're going to find this new one right now, I guess.
Yes. So, and in fact, on our Facebook page, you will be able to find an extended version of this hidden treasure that we will show today. So today's topic... the topic of today's hidden treasure is about the Father's house of present and future eschatology. So check it out. You see, the temple played a very significant role in the life of Israel. It was the only place that was called the Father's house. In fact, when Jesus cleansed the temple, he concluded his action with these words, "Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." In fact, in the Old Testament, the words temple and the Father's house are interchangeable. By the time of Jesus, the temple had become corrupted, and only priests had direct access to it. But then, Jesus comes along, and he says something completely revolutionary. In John chapter 14, verse 23, he states, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." He says the Father's house is no longer a building, but something else entirely. God doesn't want to be limited to the past or to a building, nor does he want to wait to be with you in the future. You see, he wants to make his home with you and with me, here and right now, so we can enjoy this fellowship with him now and for eternity. And that's today's Hidden Treasure. And that's today's Hidden Treasure. So now you've seen this hidden treasure that it talks about. First of all, Jesus definitely presents this future eschatology that he will say, "Yes, I will come and we will be." He talks about the second coming, but he also talks about the present reality. Mm. And what that present reality is, that he wants to come and dwell with us right now. Yeah. And we can find it in verse 23 that we just read. And let's just read it again.
All right, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him."
So he talks about something that we can experience when?
Even right. Now.
Even yeah, now.
That's wonderful.
Even now.
It's exciting.
I think it's cool. I think what Jesus has to offer, what kind of true Christianity is not I've punched my ticket that I'm going to cash in later to go to heaven. It's this closeness with God that I can experience right now. Jesus didn't come to, like, save the date for later. You know, we can experience oneness with him right now. I think that's what I really liked about what we just saw. That's very mm-hmm. cool.
Okay. So let's continue our discussion and exploration of the Word of God. And the following reaction of somebody who was actually among the disciples is actually astonishingly interesting. And Nathan, what do you read in verse 5 through 7? Verses 5 through 7, yes.
5 through 7. "Thomas said to him, 'Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?' Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him.'"
You see, for many times, Christian, whenever any person would read this verse, they would immediately say that, wait a second, but this statement is very exclusive. Mm. Because what is Jesus trying to say here in verse 6? I'm the way, the truth, and the life? But wait a second, is Jesus the only way, the only truth and the only life?
Yes, absolutely.
Is,
yeah, I mean, I think he's saying, and I mean, he's it's a reoccurring thing in the gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus says, you know, I'm the light. You know, if someone follows me, they don't have to stumble in darkness. He says that I am the gate into my Father's sheep pen. You know, if somebody tries to come in through another gate, you know, mm-hmm. he's not the shepherd. So here he's just saying again, a lot of people are going to be coming and they're going to be saying that they're the Messiah, but I am the way, the mm-hmm. truth, and the life. I am the one. So, yeah.
So what do you think about it, Nathan?
Well, what I find interesting about this is definitely Thomas. I always relate to him anytime he says anything because it's like this, you know, he's doubting Thomas. He's always questioning, and I always feel like his questions are my exact same questions. And it at this point, after seeing Jesus and all the things he would do, if I was Jesus, which I'm not at all, but I feel like I always get so surprised that Jesus isn't like, come on, Thomas, haven't you seen all the stuff that I've done? Like, you know who I am. You know what I can do. Like, why don't you believe me yet? And so it makes me excited to just see that he just lays it down simply and just says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And that's it. And it's just such a simple term, and I really like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I maybe suspect where you're getting at, Oleg, earlier there, where you're saying, like, it sounds like such an exclusive statement, and I don't think that's what Jesus is highlighting so much as, like, look, you can only get through me if you want to get to the Father. You know, like, I'm going to kind of, you got to just come through me. It's the only way. And we maybe try to make that a limiting statement, but then we see what the bigness of Jesus is and what it means to follow him. In the previous chapter, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then the very next chapter, he says, 14:21, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Whoever acts how Jesus acts, whoever mm-hmm. loves like Jesus loved, even maybe they've never had the chance to hear his name in their life, if they're in some remote part of the world, if they love how Jesus loved, and they have the love of God is very accessible, if they have his love in their heart, then they, you know, they're going through Jesus, because that is the only real love out there, is the love of God as seen through Jesus.
You see, thank you so much. It's very, very, very powerful what you just said, all what we just said, and this discussion is amazingly creative in this respect. mm-hmm. So what you can actually say, and I would be bold enough to say that this statement is actually very inclusive.
Yes. Yes.
Instead of exclusive, very inclusive. Yeah. And I will tell you why. Because if we go to John chapter 1, and let's go there for 1 second. John chapter 1, verse 18. John chapter 1, verse 18. John okay. chapter 1, verse 18 says, no one has seen God at any time. Why no one has seen God at any time? Because no one, nothing unholy can stand in the presence of the Most Holy. Mm. Because the last time human beings saw God was in Eden. That was the last time human beings saw God. Mm. Since that time, no one has seen God anytime. No one has seen God. Moses himself has never seen God. So no one has seen God. But here what we see in verse 18, and then it continues. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And here Jesus says, I am the one who show you the Father right now. Yeah. I am the one who you, through me, can experience the God himself. What Jesus is trying to basically do, he's trying to take us back, all of us, back to Eden. He says, you know what? I want all of you to experience the same union that Adam and Eve had.
Yeah.
The same union. Why don't we want to experience this union, human beings,
right?
All of us?
You know, and I love what you're saying about how, and what you said with the hidden treasures and what we're saying now, about how accessible God is, about how he wants to be with us right now. And so I just want to jump in with a viewer comment. I'm going to read a comment from Ren. And just for any of you watching at home, remember, we want your perspective too. So send in your comments to our question today. You know, what ways have you experienced God's love in your life? And Ren says, I experience God's love through his forgiveness, but it doesn't stop there. I suddenly have this growing capacity to love others too. However, I feel his love is an extra special way when I talk to him and he talks back to me. I love that, what Ren is saying, by beholding, we become transformed. Like, God's love is not something that we just receive and go, cool. It transforms us and it makes us a different person. So I really like what Ren had to say there.
Mm-hmm. This is a very good point. Thank you very much. So what we see more and more, because this transformation that comes, it comes as a result of us seeing God face to face.
Yes, exactly.
That's why it's actually the Gospel according to John can be renamed as the Gospel according to John. Yeah, kind of. I mean, I'm not trying to rename it. No. Mm-hmm. What I would say, just add something. The Gospel according to John, semicolon, and then continue, seeing God face to face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because this is where you get to see God face to face in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. John himself says it, that through Jesus Christ we can see God face to face. Okay, so let's continue. Let's just carry on. But before we actually jump to our second part of our discussion, when we will be talking about Jesus, Jesus actually says that I will give you anything, whatever you ask in my name. How much better can it get? In verses 12 through 14. John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, Jesus says, I will give you anything, whatever you ask.
Mm.
So we want to find out, how can we get anything, whatever we want from Jesus and from God? Yeah, don't we? Nathan definitely wants to do it, and I hope you too. We need to take a short break, but please take some time to respond to our question.
That's right, and Oleg, we want to hear from you as well. So be sure to respond to today's question. What are some things in this world that can keep... I'm sorry, that's not the right question. What are some ways that you've experienced God's love in your life? We'll see you soon.
Welcome back. The Word of God sets our hearts on fire. And if you feel the same, don't keep it to yourself, because Sergio and I and Jennifer and Nathan and all the viewers, they want to hear your comments as well. So join us. Join us. And we talked about how Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But it's not exclusive. It's actually inclusive, because he says, I want you to experience God face to face. That means, and through me, I want you to become closer and closer to God.
Yeah.
And that's why later on, all the disciples, Peter, Paul, another disciple who will join the Christian church, he will be constantly writing, I want you to imitate Jesus. We all want to imitate Jesus, but how do we imitate him? By studying the scripture. No wonder there is four gospels.
Right.
That's why, because we need to immerse ourselves in the gospels, and we need to learn who Jesus really is. Yeah, and whenever you have any comments or because it seems like you want to.
Yeah, I just wanted to share something that sort of ties into what you were saying about, you know, Jesus being the way, the truth, and the light. And you're right. You know, it's not to exclude people, even though Jesus says, you know, if you've been exposed to the truth about me and you don't accept me, you have to accept me because I'm the only way you can get to God. He's wanting us to get to God, and I think this verse, John 3:16, which is one of my favorites, it just emphasizes this point where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son." So Jesus doesn't want to exclude anyone, but we have to accept him as our Savior and Lord.
This is so true, because it reminds me of another statement that one of my favorite authors, he said, N.T. Wright, he said, all religions, they're leading us to the foot of the mountain. Mm. But in order to get to the apex of the mountain or to the top of the mountain, there is only Jesus who can lead us there.
Mm-hmm. I think when we look at this chapter, Oleg, we've seen the beginning, you know, it starts with, you know, you can only come to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But then what he goes on to say, well, we're going to go in now.
Yes.
All these things about love and all these things, I'm going to send you the Spirit and all these things. This is Jesus as God. He's just about to leave, like Jennifer said. He's going to leave him. But this is God so desperate to be close to us, so desperate to be one with us, so desperate to pour out his love onto us, that it's not an issue of, as Christians, we can go, hey, my religion's better than your religion because this is the only way to God. This is Jesus as God saying, I want to be close to you. It's the whole reason I came down here. I want to be one with you. And it's your job to just look at that and you know, go, okay, you know, and we become transformed by his love.
And let's go to that verse, which is verse 15. If you read verse John chapter 14 verse 15, and Sergio, could you read for us this verse?
Yeah,
it and says, 16 as well.
Okay, 16 too. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever.
Okay, so this verse that you just read, you say it reads, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Mm-hmm. But if you read it actually in some other translations, it would say, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments."
Mm. Oh wow!
So if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Right.
It can be confirmed in verse 23. Let's read verse 23. The same chapter, verse 23. And Jennifer, could you read verse 23?
Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word."
What does it say again?
If anyone loves me, he will keep my word.
If anyone loves me, he will keep my word.
He will. Yeah.
He will keep my word. Let's read verse 24. What does that verse say?
Oh, and my Father will love him, and, okay, so down to 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is it again. So
yeah. Yeah.
What does it tell us about the love that we can have to God, and what is the response of that love? Like, what is the immediate reaction?
Well, I think we're back at the inclusivity-exclusivity thing, where the easy way to read 15, if it says, if you love me, keep my commandments, it's easy to read that Jesus saying, you love me, prove it, keep my commandments, then I'll know you love me. You know, now you gotta jump through these hoops to prove you love me, then I'll know you love me. But Jesus is saying, no, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments, because the keeping commandments of God is the heart's natural response to the love of God. You instantly want to be like that. I want to be more like that. I want to be closer to that. And it's not an issue of, man, I've got to do these things. It's an issue of, I want to be more like this entity, Jesus, who I love, who loves me, and I want to love him back.
And I would just add, you're not even doing it in your own power, because Jesus said, if you love me,
you,
the Father and me will make your heart our home.
Mm. Yes.
So he's giving you a new heart.
Exactly.
And the evidence of the new heart is that you're keeping his commandments.
This is so beautiful.
Yeah.
This is so great, because let me just, like, if we go, and God is the same. God is the same forever. We can read about it in Hebrews. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, he is the same. If he's the same forever. But if you go to the Old Testament, God gave also commandments, his words. In fact, the words that he wrote himself with his own hand, and they are called Ten Commandments today. But then when Jesus comes, he also gives his words. They do not contradict the Old Testament. In fact, they reemphasize the Old Testament laws, and they bring it they become even so beautiful, mm. if you think about it. But this is great because when we talk about God, in response to when we love God, we want to keep whatever His words are.
Yeah.
If we love Jesus, we want to keep whatever His words are.
Right.
Yeah.
Words of, yeah.
I was just saying, it's like you said in the Hidden Treasure, and God wants to make His home with us. It's such a closeness where it's not even, you can't properly describe it as a relationship, because a relationship is a back and forth. But Jesus says throughout, we haven't read all the verses, but He says throughout this chapter, I and my Father are one. And then He says, you know me, and so you and I will be one, and we'll all be one together. It's a oneness that God is seeking to have with us. And that's really what we see. It's like what Paul says. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. We become like this new thing. It's no longer me and God. It's like us now. You know, mm-hmm. this new creation that comes mm-hmm. from this extremely intimate closeness with God, which is just so much better than anything else.
Yeah. Nathan?
I definitely agree with that. It's going to when God is in your life, it's going to change you, and it'll change your heart so that it's not like these are commands, but you'll follow them. But at the same time, for me, when I read this, and it's like I believe in God, and I know that He loves me. I know that He blesses me, and so I want to love Him. Like, I want to follow His mm-hmm. commandments. Mm-hmm. It's not simply. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes for me, I go through my life and I'm not actually following His commandments, mm-hmm. and I know that He's maybe changed my heart, but I feel like for me, I have to know what those commandments are. Like, what are those commandments? Because I want to prove to God that I do love Him.
Mm-hmm. This is a very good point, because sometimes but do we want to prove that you love Him? What if you really love Him? Would you, for instance, if I know that somebody who I really love left me with a special message, mm-hmm. Left me a special message, that message would be a letter. If you knew that your loved one mm-hmm. left you a letter on the table, wouldn't you want to open that letter?
Oh, yeah, of course.
To read it through one and to second time and third time? This is exactly what Jesus did. Imagine mm-hmm. this. It's incredible because God is like the best lover in the entire world. He truly is. Mm-hmm. Look what he does. He says, you know, I love you so much that I decided you to leave this book as a letter. And you can read this letter. Even you sometimes you have to decipher it. But even though you can still, by deciphering, you can get to know me better and better and better.
And you know, Oleg, I'm going to jump in with a comment from Lawrence, because he's saying what you're saying, and he's also teasing to something we haven't talked about yet that we're going to talk about, which is God's Spirit with us. He says, hi, Cross Connection. Welcome back for the second week. Hello, Lawrence. He says, His forgiveness, giving me the Holy Spirit to serve Him, His presence that brings me joy, and the way He speaks to me through His Word, which we just talked about. And he says, those are some of the way of His ways that He loves me. And so it's a couple of things that we're talking about. Through His Word, like you just said, and then His presence that can be experienced by us right now. So I really like what Lawrence had to say.
And the presence that we can experience right now, and not just talk about it on a maybe theological level or whatever level, mm. theoretical level. This is what we will talk about right after the break. So stay with us, because right after the break, we will talk about the presence of God in the Holy Spirit. But meanwhile, definitely make sure to answer our question.
What are some ways you've experienced the love of God? Remember, we're on Facebook, Twitter. You can email us. You can just send us a quick text. We're looking forward to connecting with you.
Welcome back to Cross Connection. We are discussing John chapter 14, and this is amazing because when Jesus talks about his presence as his mission, he also includes Father. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life to the Father. But he also talks about Jesus himself and God being present among us in the form of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And this is amazing because it seems like there is the Trinity. This is actually the word that is not never used in the Bible. Trinity, the word Trinity is not used in the Bible, but we get hints all over the Bible that there is three in one and one in three, and it's not very easy to comprehend, but it's a topic for another discussion. Mm-hmm. But here in this chapter, we see how this God places a new commandment in our hearts, a new covenant in our hearts through the Spirit. And Jennifer, during the break, you said that you have a very special verse that you would like us to,
absolutely,
to see. Yeah, what is that verse?
Yeah, so when we were having this discussion, it just made me think about Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33.
Mm-hmm. And so it's Jeremiah verse 31.
Chapter 31.
Chapter 31.
Verse 33.
Okay.
And it reads, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Mm-hmm. And this is this new covenant where, you know, it's not just a law that's written down on paper that you try your hardest to follow, mm-hmm, but the Holy Spirit writes God's law upon your heart.
Mm. And this is so great.
Yeah.
Because this is amazing what Jesus says. In verse 16, and Sergio, you read this verse, and I will pray, verse 16, so we are in John chapter 14, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever.
Yeah.
What does it tell us about Jesus and his love towards us?
You know, I think, you know, we're talking about Jesus is leaving. Mm-hmm. He's saying, I'm going to send something that's even better. Jesus as a man, God as man, is confined. I think we've just said this before. He's confined to time and to space.
He can only be
in that upper room at this time.
He has his limits.
Right. He can only be here at this time.
Yes.
But Jesus as spirit can be everywhere and anywhere at all times with us right now, with us in this room right now. And that's why it's so much better. And it serves the further relational aspect that we're seeing here because he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But before that, he says, I'm looking at verse 13, and mm-hmm, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, yes, I will do it. So if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Guess what? I love you too. So anything you ask in my name, I'm going to do for you too. So it's not a one-way street. It's very relational. You see that we keep his commandments. He answers our prayers and gives us his spirit. It's a two-way street with God.
And I'm reading this where he's saying, you know, anything that you ask me to do, that the Father may be glorified, I'll do it. You know, he's not saying, oh, pray that, you know, you'll win the lottery tomorrow and you can just retire. You know, he's saying anything that you need to do, any prayer that you need to have answered in order to keep my commandments, you know, praying for my Holy Spirit, that the Father may be glorified. Those types of prayers, you know, I promise that prayer is going to be answered.
Anything that promotes closeness with him, he's going to be right on top of it. Exactly.
Yeah, and no wonder why he says, in my name. Mm-hmm. In my name. Because we Christians usually finish their prayers with the words, in the name of Jesus Christ, or in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
So it seems like whatever we pray about in Jesus' name, it's like it's mantra. In Jesus' name, amen.
Like a little blessing, we say.
Like a little blessing, yeah. But sometimes we don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. But next time when you pray and when you mention the name of Jesus, think about it. Because if you ask in the name of Jesus, it means that the words of Jesus abide in you.
Mm. Mm. Wow. Right.
Because this is exactly what Jesus says. If you love me, you will keep my words.
Mm.
So, which it means that whenever I pray and whenever I ask in Jesus' name, I pray, it means that the words of Jesus abide in me.
Right.
So definitely make sure to remember, is your prayer really, really, like, relates to what Jesus had said?
And let's remember the context. We're here in the upper room where the foot washing took place. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What have they just seen him do? When he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Just see them get on his knees and wash their dirty feet. Show them an example of humble, loving service. That is who God is. So if you're praying for something, it's impossible to pray for a new car in the spirit of what Jesus did. It's impossible.
Yeah,
it's
not the same exactly. Thing. Or Lord, please help this neighbor to get to right. just.
Help me get a job on this test I didn't study for, or something.
Exactly.
It's just not in the name of what Jesus just did. It's we not see in who the, God is.
It's not in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Right.
But I will say, though, at the same time, there's things that we could pray for. Hey, God, heal my mother.
Yes.
And it might not happen. Mm. But if we're saying, hey, God, heal my mother in your name, and like you were saying earlier, you know, something might happen to her, but that's part of Jesus's, that's part of the will of God. Mm. And that might glorify his name, even though it could be really painful to me, but maybe by whatever happened, by her not being healed, it'll glorify his name in the end of the, end of the day.
But again, we need to remember that God does not send anything. It's not God's will that children suffer in Africa or somewhere. It's not God's will that our mother dies from cancer. It's not God's will that I suffer. It's not God's will. It's not God's will. It's evil that is in this world. But what Jesus presents here, look at this, what happens in the very last verse of this chapter. Look what happens. It's just, it's mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. Look at this. Verse 30. Jennifer, read this verse and let all of us read this verse. Verse 30. We are in John chapter 14, verse 30. And this is what it means to pray in God's name and in Jesus' name. Read it first, please.
I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me.
Who is that ruler of the world that is coming?
Satan.
Satan, who will take Jesus and who will crucify Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus prayed, and later on we will discover, Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, please let this cup, take away this cup from me. But this is what Jesus did. He endured the suffering till the very end with us. This is the solution to all evil. He says, I am suffering with you to the very end. And this is, in my name you can suffer, yes, but the eternal, don't let not your heart be troubled, because in my Father's house there is many rooms, and my room will be right next to your room, and we will be there forever. Amen. okay, yeah, let's just yeah, we have only a few minutes left, so our viewers, this is the time for your comments.
I'll jump in with some comments then. Now is a good time. I'll jump in with a comment from Cecilia. And again, our question is, what are some ways that you've experienced God's love in your life? She says, I experience it every day by observing every detail he brings to my life to make me feel happy. I've also experienced God's love when I see all the blessings he gives me, even when I fail him. You just read that verse that the ruler of this world is coming. We still live in a world where the ruler of this world is darkness. This world is in darkness. So anything good that happens, that comes from God. And those are the things that we see his love through us. Every single good thing that's ever happened to you, it's God's love in action in your life. So I really like what Cecilia had to say. I'll read one more. Adelina makes a comment here on Facebook. She says, I experienced God's love most deeply through his divine protection when I was scared, his heartfelt presence when I was lonely, his empowering strength when I was weak, and his healing power when I was hurt. It's an extremely powerful comment. But I it's just all the different ways that God can be there for us whenever we need him.
So we only have a few minutes left, and throughout this time, I would like us to talk about our takeaway lessons. So what are your takeaway lessons? Jennifer, Nathan?
Yeah, I guess for me, that first verse just really resonates. Let not your heart be troubled. Mm-hmm. There are so many things that are happening in the world that you could be troubled about. I mean, you know, the government shut down. Yeah. Everything seems so uncertain. Everywhere you look, you know, there's wars, you know, hunger, you know, terrible things happening in the world. But Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. And if we believe in Jesus, you know, that he has, you know, power to answer our prayers, and he asks us to pray, we don't have to let our hearts be troubled. You know, we can have that peace that comes from him.
Because he abides with among us.
Amen. Because he's with us.
He's with us.
He's always
literally
with us.
Yeah, through pain, through suffering, and through good. Nathan.
It's tough for me because I almost have this whole chapter outlined with so many things I like in it.
Choose three.
Hands down, my favorite verse in this chapter is 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. I feel like we talked a lot about that, so I don't want to talk too much about it. But what excites me the most about it is that the spirit in me is, I love that. I love when the Spirit is inside me. I love that presence of God. Whenever I'm spending time, whenever, even right now, like when the Spirit is around me and when I'm praying and when I'm studying the Word, I feel good inside. Mm-hmm. Like I feel a joy inside. And there's a verse that says that when you love God, you're going to feel mm-hmm. joy inside. And it's sad when I'm not spending time with God and I'm not feeling that joy. I don't know why I'm not always spending time with God so that I always have that joy. So I just get excited when I read and I see that the more we pray, the more we love God, the more the Spirit will grow in us. And that just gives me so much excitement.
Let's stay excited.
This is so cool. It's just God's, just how intensely He wants to be one with us, how intensely He wants to be close to us. And a lot of times, if I jump to the beginning of this chapter, it's easy to get on the disciples' case, because they say things like, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And there's this doubting, this not knowing, and we go, "Come on, guys, figure it out." But then Jesus says to Philip, "Don't you know me, Philip? After I've been around you for such a long time?" I mean, I feel like that's something that happens to us even now. When we start to get stressed, when we start to get troubled, when we start to wonder, how am I going to make it through this? What is going to happen to me? God, why aren't you there for me? And God is always saying, "Don't you know me? You just need to get connected to me, and everything's going to be all right." And I think that's what we see here, how desperately God loves us, how desperately He wants to be close to us. And the only thing that's on us is to just connect to Him. That's all we need to do, and stop worrying. All we need to do is know Him.
This is so amazing, because He compares His union with the Father and the Holy Spirit and union with us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How much, like, it's mind-blowing. Yeah. He compares this union. I and the Father are one, and I want to be one with Jennifer.
You see God as one, and He says that same oneness is something I want to have with you. It's so incredible.
He wants to have the same oneness with you as well. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Jesus wants us to hold fast to Him, to love Him, because He first loved us. He wants to become one with Him. He wants us to become one with Him, just as He is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit as well. This is the union that He is longing for. So let's refuse to settle for a second best, compromised discipleship, as we can call it. Jesus is the only one who can give us a real peace as a gift, a peace that the world can never give us. This peace assures us of His presence and His support. And the most important good news is that Jesus that we know and the love that we know in Jesus is indeed one with the Father. And even though the ruler of the world is at the door, we know that we can be at peace, for God is always with us. And I want all of us to remember this, that God is always with us.
Amen.
And there is a word that explains it very well, Emmanuel, the name. God is with us. And until next week, stay connected with Jesus Christ in your everyday life and also on Cross Connection.